But what I wanted to look at are young people who serve the Lord all their lives. There are very, very few of them in Scripture. A lot of times people started well and finished up poorly. Others started poorly, finished up better. But there were three I was thinking of that from youth up, they walked with the Lord and they served the Lord. And the Lord could use them in a mighty way. And it's a challenge to all of us, but also to young people. You know, those of us who are old, it's too late for us to be young people. So, what's happened has happened. But you're young. You have the opportunity to walk with and serve the Lord all your lives. And I want to look at three men. Joseph, Timothy, and Daniel. All three serve the Lord and honor the Lord with their lives. That's why the Lord has made us. He has prepared us for a purpose. And we've sung about His creation, glorifying Him. We're part of His creation. He's made us to be here to glorify Him. And there were characteristics in the lives of these three men that I think were critical things of why they continued to serve the Lord. It wasn't like they had, everything was going their way and there was no problems in their lives. But no matter what the circumstances, they walked with the Lord. Now, and it started because I've been reading through the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, I think it's seven times it says that they did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, in the sight of the Lord. Every time God would raise up a Savior, a judge, to deliver them, they were thankful. But then after the judge was gone, they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and reaped the consequences of it. God was patient over and over again. But they didn't live in the thought that they were in the eyes of the Lord. That everything they did was seen by Him. Joseph was one of those examples that even though his family situation, his brothers hated him, they sold him. How's that for brothers? Yeah. Sold him into Egypt. And when he's there, he's tempted and falsely accused by his master's wife. But there's a verse in Genesis 39:9 that tells us something about Joseph. When she comes to tempt him, he says, "There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph lived with the idea, with the truth, that he was living in the sight of God. I'm sure there was many things there suggested by the enemy to say, "Joseph, you're in a foreign country. Your family's not here. Nobody will know. Enjoy yourself. You know, please yourself." But he looked up. He knew that what he did was in the sight of the Lord. Scripture over and over again tells us, what's the senior moment? David, in Psalm 139, talked about how the Lord saw everything he did. When he sat down, when he got up, where he traveled. Knowledge too wonderful for him. Do you think the Lord can really know our thoughts? Before the flood, said that God, he was upset that he had made man. Because the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. Do you realize the Lord sees your thoughts? And hears your thoughts. And someday we have to stand accountable for our thoughts. Think of the day in which we live with computers. You do a search on your laptop or your tablet or whatever. And a few seconds later, there's an advertisement advertising that very thing you were searching. Because you think you're just searching on your... It's going through all these computers. They're analyzing, watching what you are typing in. And then sending something. So buy this product or buy that. Every time you go into a major store, even minor stores, you're being watched. Do you realize that? Look around. There's cameras. Look in this building. We have cameras at different places that's recording us, that's seeing what you do. If somebody does something or accused of a crime, the police can follow them on the street with their with the cameras. Well, at this certain time, this car went by here. And they can trace where you're going, where you've been. They can go back to the computer files. Check out, you say, well, I was at such and such a place at such and such a time. Oh, yeah? Well, let me check the camera for over there. They can find out. Now, if man is able to do that, now, of course, he doesn't know our thoughts. And sometimes people say, well, I didn't mean that. That wasn't my intention. You did this and said that. Well, they can make excuse or get a good lawyer to make excuse. But God knows our thoughts. God knows our hearts. God knows our secrets that I don't think anybody else knows. You think that you got away with. When at the great white throne, people stand who aren't saved, stand in their sins, and it says the books are open. Books are open. You're accused of this or of that. And you know what? Your mouth is shut. Because there you are, seeing it. I don't know whether it's be video or not. even though that is theoretic, everything, all the light shines off us, reflects, you see the reflection of the light waves, then they go off into space. Same thing with your audio, radio waves, off into space. Well, if we had something fast enough to speed way ahead of those light waves, audio waves, and had a receiver to receive them, we could view everything. They tell us when you see the stars, you're looking at the past. What happened a long time ago. And its light is just getting to our eyes. God of eternity sees all. It's all open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In Hebrews 4, it talks about His Word that is so alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a judge or a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How are you going to stand before such a God if you're not like a Joseph who recognizes that God sees what I do? My parents may not have known it. Others may not have seen it. And maybe it's only in my thoughts. Our thoughts. Sometimes our thoughts are wrong. Many times our thoughts are wrong. In fact, it's a good thing everybody doesn't read our thoughts. Can you imagine if we've all seen all our thoughts and known all the wrong thoughts that we created? Thoughts that we entertained rather than having God's Word form our thoughts. But Joseph lived in the light that God sees it all. And that I'll have to give an account for my thoughts and my intents, what I intended for those thoughts. As a young person, remember now that God sees you and hears you. When He speaks to you from the Word, be like the Thessalonians that did not receive the Word as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which works in us effectually. Joseph, young man, lived his life. God used him in a mighty way. He became Lord in Egypt. He's Savior of the world. The means of saving his brothers who disliked him, sold him. And later on, when his father died, he thought he was going to get back at them. And Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He lived in the eyes of God. Timothy is another one. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And that from childhood, from a baby, from an infancy, you have known the sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy grew up in a split home. Father was a Greek. No, there's no indication that he was saved or he had any spiritual things. But he had a mother and a grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who apparently taught him the Scriptures. He never knew a time when he didn't know the Scriptures. Think about that. We talked about somebody who was grew up in a Christian home and had Christian parents, godly grandparents, turned away to imbibe the lies of the world and to get into a lot of this white privilege and I'm a victim and reparation and all that sort of things. And she never thinks about that she had the best privilege in life. Christian parents. Christian grandparents. If you have Christian parents and you have had Christian grandparents, I'll tell you what, bow down before the Lord. Say, "Thank you, Lord." That is the greatest privilege in this life, to have parents like that, grandparents like that, who will teach you the Word of God, who as a baby will sing songs to you, "Jesus loves me, this I know," you know, scriptural songs. And your mind takes those songs in, and I love to see my grandchildren, or little E's, in Wilmington singing, "Jesus loves me." You know, or our grandchildren having the Word of God. This is a book that will last forever. His words will never perish. God gives us His Word. It's like no other script, no other thing. Timothy considered them sacred writings. Holy Scripture. To make you wise. If you follow what he says, that will be the best life you'll ever have. And as a young person, when you take in his word and think about it, meditate on it and put it into practice, God will bless you. From the very day you let his word be a part of your life, it's food. It's spiritual food so that you grow healthy and strong to keep you from dangers. To keep you from the lies of the enemy that says, "Nobody will know. Go ahead, look at this. Read that. Nobody will know." The pride, the devil, The devil fell through pride. And he will get you to fall through pride. You might be good at something. You might be better than somebody else in sports. Or smarter than them. Or more beautiful than them. Better looking. The devil's there to pat you, pat yourself on the back. You are something else, aren't you? You really are good looking. Everybody thinks you're good looking. They always talk nicely about you. Before you know it, you're reading your own press clippings. I used to wrestle. And it was funny. When we used to go out after the match, you'd go out and have the match, and then come out. Off the first thing, many of the guys would say, "How did I look? How did I look? You know, did I look good?" Even if, you know, if they won, they know if they lost, they didn't look good. But if they won, they wanted, "Did I look good in front of everybody? Do they think nice of me?" Now, there's a temptation that the devil uses. To want to have everybody speak well of you. The Lord says, be careful when everybody speaks well of you. That's what they did to the false prophets. God's word is able to show us what to say at the right moments. How many times in my life something happened, I could have said, it was later on that I thought of what I should say. That would have been a good response back then. It was too late. But God's word will teach us ahead of time. God's spirit, being subject with his spirit, will show you the right things to say for him. Know the scripture. Meditate on his scripture. Memorize his scripture. Not just for our class or whatever. Memorization is motivation. Motivated. That's what gets you to memorize. If I said, I would give you $5 for every verse you memorize, how many verses could you memorize? $5 a verse? When our children, our grandchildren come to visit, we give them 5 cents to pick up a five per pine cone. And they can pick up quite a few pine cones. I didn't know that there were that many on the ground. But to think if I offered them $5 for a verse to memorize. But the riches is really in God's word rather than in the money that they get. And Timothy knew the scripture. God wants us to know the scripture. Let me challenge you as a young person. Take a book of the Bible. Like the book of Philippians. Start with the first verse. Memorize it. You know, Paul, apostle, etc. Throughout the day, when you don't have to be thinking about anything, think about that verse. Meditate on it. What's in it for me from God? The next day, take the next verse. Philippians 1:2. And throughout the day, when you have free moments, and there are wasted moments, we waste thinking about, I don't know, whatever. Go over those two verses so you can say them both at the same time. Then the next day, do the third verse and all three. Say them in your mind. Maybe at night at bedtime. Go through until you can go through the whole 4 chapters. Of the book of Philippians. And you can go over them at one time in your mind. And you could see how God puts the word together. All rather than just seeing the individual verse, you see the whole forest. You see the whole context. You see why God has put that there. And the Spirit of God can take it and use it to shape your life. And like Paul told Timothy, it's able to make you wise for salvation. Not just salvation from our sins. But the wisdom to be able to do the right thing the right time, rather than make a foolish decision that you make that you have to reap the results of. Joseph, Timothy, young men, they started when they're young. Served them their whole life. The third one I'm thinking of is Daniel. Daniel was, his country was invaded. And you know, back then they weren't real kind to you if you lost the war. You know, if you were young and smart and all, Nebuchadnezzar knew what to do with those kind of people. They carried him captive to a new country and set him up to be in the government. He wanted the smartest and the best of the captives to be in the government. They had to learn a new language. New idols and false gods all around. Change their name to Belteshazzar. From, and his three friends, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in their case, the king wanted them to be, he wanted the smartest so that they can govern, put them in places of government that would promote his kingdom. So gave them good food, the best food, the king's food. But Daniel had learned things when he was young of what pleased the Lord. He knew that the gods that he was living among now in Babylon were false gods. He was brought into the colleges of Babylon. Children, as you're growing up, you eventually will get to colleges that are not Christian. They don't honor God. They have false gods. And on the campuses, if you're on a secular campus, believe me, the only concern that the leadership, the administration in the campus has is bad publicity. And they let things go on that are illegal and are wrong. Especially sexually and all kinds of drugs, etc. As long as you don't bother somebody else, they would say. My freshman year in college, I might have said this before, but first week of, in the freshman dorm, the RA came out and said, if any of you have a problem and your girlfriend gets pregnant, don't worry. We know a doctor at the local hospital that will take care of it. Meaning they'll kill the baby. It was illegal back then, in the early 70s. Abortion. But that didn't mean that people didn't do it. That didn't mean people didn't know about it in the administration. That they didn't condone it. It was another false god that was set up. And you're away from home. You're away from your parents. And they tell you, don't worry. Go ahead. Nobody will find out. Nobody will know. Those are the lies from the devil. Those are the false gods. Daniel and his friends had to face those things. And Daniel and his friends says about Daniel, in 1:8, he said he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Literally in Hebrew it means he set his heart not to defile himself. He set it up in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat, with the idols of Babylon. It took, my wife told me, use the word intentional. It took purpose. Today, it's intentional. You go there with a purpose that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be one that follows them. I'm going to let my flag fly high right from the start and to see who will salute it and who will shoot at it. To let people know that I'm a believer. You set it in your heart that you will follow the Lord. Even if the circumstances, even if the kids in school, even if your Christian friends encourage you to do what's wrong. I used to tell my children, the gross things of the world or the things that everybody knows are sin, often we can resist. We know that's wrong. We stay away from them. But sometimes our Christian friends will say, let's try this. Let's try it. Won't hurt. They can lead you to sin. Be careful. Purpose in your heart. Set your heart to follow the Lord. That's why Joseph, Timothy, and Daniel, their whole life, no matter change of administration, change of government, famines, etc., they serve the Lord and God used them. You can be a person that God could use your whole life. There won't be a time in your age that you weren't fruitful for the Lord, to be fruitful even in old age to honor the Lord. And Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and he was suspect about these wise men in Babylon, you know. Yeah, they all want to tell me what's the interpretation of dreams. But I'm not always sure that they know what they're talking about. Believe me, a lot of the PhDs don't know what they're talking about. And the press will be sure to find experts and PhDs to tell you why they're right in their opinions. And they don't know what they're talking about. Nebuchadnezzar gave him a test. I'll find out how, whether you know what I'm talking about. Tell me the dream, wise men. Then I'll know you're able to tell me its interpretation. What are you talking about? No, nobody has ever required such a thing from the wise men. That only lies with God, or with the gods. You're being unreasonable. I'll show you what unreasonable is. If you don't, off with your head. And Daniel was among those wise men that was pulled in. And he says, here's what's all this going on. He tells him, he says, just give me a little time. Because Daniel, he made good friends in Babylon. He had Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were fellow believers. And he got together with them. He said, let's pray. Let's pray together that the Lord would show us the vision, the dream, and the interpretation. And God answered that prayer. And what a testimony for God. And he gave God all the credit. Don't forget to give God all the credit. But be careful who your friends are. Make sure you make right friends. I'm sure your parents will tell you this over and over again. Make sure you make right friends. Children that have gotten in with wrong people go in wrong ways. You got to remember, even if after we're saved, we have an old nature. And if you're not saved, that's all you have. And you have a bent towards want to go with the ways of people that will lead you down. Will lead you to destruction. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Judges, again, it talked about there was no king in Israel. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. If you have Timothy's understanding, knowing the Word of God, you don't have to look at what's right in your own eyes. What's right in the eyes of the Lord is what you want to do, what you want to follow. Make sure at school you see those that are good friends and you gravitate towards them. Do not go with the wrong people. We say birds of a feather flock together. It's an old proverb. It means you tend to line up with people that are like you in desires. That's the wrong desire. But God is able to make you, to give you right desires. That He's able to come in and work within you to both will and to do of His good pleasure. Maybe we're not all like Joseph and Timothy and Daniel from our youth up. But you can start right where you are. Start by feeding on the Word of God. Start by memorizing His Word. When Satan wants to bring wrong thoughts in your mind, we can't always stop them from occurring, but you don't have to entertain them. Let it be an alarm clock for you to say, oh, what is the verse I'm going over? What is the verse I'm thinking of? And when you're young, memorize them. As I've gotten older, the harder, it's become harder to memorize. Can't remember it. You know, I go over and over and over. I'm still reading scriptures that I said, I never read that before. I know I've read through the Bible, and I've read through multiple times, and I come across it and I say, wow, that's a new verse for me. But when you're young, your mind can really memorize the verses. And meditate on them. Think about them. God will bless you. Even as we're older, when you start to fill the thoughts with His thoughts, He starts to bless us. God wants to bless us in as much as we obey Him. You can say all you want, you obey Him. But if you don't obey Him, you don't get the blessing. It's only as we obey Him that He blesses us. We have places, there are churches that their format may not be like ours. And we may think, well, the format makes it, doesn't allow this. Inasmuch as they obey God's word, God will bless them. And we can have the right format. But if we don't obey Him, if we don't follow Him, it doesn't matter what your format is. You're not going to be blessed. The blessing comes as we obey Him, as we follow His ways. Not only though can He bless us, but His blessing can go out to many. Look at Abraham. I'll make you all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. Wow, that's quite a legacy. Now, I'd love to be able to say, well, my children were blessed by me, or my grandchildren were blessed by me. But all the families in the world can be blessed by you if you follow me. Abraham, if you have faith in me. Abraham, if you lead everything you know about and just go where I tell you and obey me, I'll make you blessed. And that's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to be a blessing. Was it Bob Cook in his King's Hour? Some go out and walk with the King today and be a blessing. He used to say that every time. And I don't know if you ever heard him. But that's a good walk with the King today and be a blessing. Who can I bless? Can I be a blessing too? How can I be a... Maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's sharing something. Whatever it is, God knows their need. God knows they needed us to say that so that we could be a blessing. And the song we sing sometimes, make me a blessing to someone today. Joseph was a blessing. He lived in God's eyes, God's sight. Timothy was a blessing. He had God's word from his youth up. Daniel was a blessing because of the friends he made, the right choices he made. And the one who matches all of these is the Lord Jesus. Everything about his life, up to the time of his baptism, even though we don't know a lot about it, other than he was about his father's business, He obeyed his parents. God put his mark on him and opened heaven, said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." All his life in private was well pleasing to God. He lived in God's sight. Everything he did was in line with his father's will and pleased him. He knew the scriptures. When the temptations came, quoted scripture. Knew just the right scripture. He didn't say, "Abraham begot Isaac." He knew the exact scripture that he should use for that temptation. Not that there's anything wrong with Abraham begot Isaac. All God's word is profitable to us. And I was thinking, well, the third one was he had good friends and all. See, how did he? There was nobody that matched him. There was nobody like him. And yet scripture says, you know what? He calls us brothers. Calls us brothers. You kidding me? He identifies himself with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, with the Spirit, through the Spirit. Nobody was like him. And God delighted to honor him. And his work, nobody can match. Without him, we were lost. We were all lost. But with him, with all that he's done for us, he saved us. Praise his name. Shall we just close in prayer? Oh Lord, we thank you for your life here, the example of your life, your ways. We thank you for the example of Joseph and Timothy and Daniel. They were just being more like you, Lord. And just help us in our daily lives to use your word to correct us, to instruct us, to rebuke us, to teach us, to equip us into every good work. We thank you for your Spirit-breathed word in your name. Amen.